She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And believe me, you are going to be given a lot to think about today. Thanks for joining us. As always, I'd like to mention we greatly appreciate our sponsors, and a special thanks today goes to the sponsor of this show, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. Their mission is to provide services, training, and jobs to people with barriers to employment. And what a great job they are doing fulfilling their mission. I don't know about where everybody else is in terms of giving to Goodwill throughout the country, but I can tell you they are rocking it here in Southern Arizona. Thank them for their support. And please remember Goodwill Industries wherever you live and when you're ready to donate or ready to shop resale. I have found some unbelievable finds at my local Goodwills. Okay, everybody, needless to say, I am always thrilled about my guests, but any time that I get to interview young people along this journey, it makes me not just happier, but filled with hope. And today we have two amazing young people that I get to have share their story for 1 hour today, and I'm very, very excited. We've been waiting for this interview. Please join me in welcoming Carter Reese and his sister Olivia. They are age 13 and 11. And Carter, I'm not sure if you're almost 13 or have reached the ripe old age of 13. Which is it?
I'm actually, in a few days, I'll be turning 13.
Well, happy day before birthday. That's congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay,
they are
the founders of One More Generation, a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to ensuring that all endangered species alive on our planet today survive for at least one more generation. And I just want everybody to press pause and think about that. How amazing and wonderful. So welcome, Carter and Olivia, and thank you for being on this show today. I have to tell you, I know it's not your first radio show. I saw on your website that you're on WABE 90.1 FM. So you're getting old hands at radio interview, right?
Yes.
Yes, I know. I know you're not nervous at all. We talked a little bit before the show. Okay, and I just want to do one short announcement before we go on with the show and make it all about Carter and Olivia and their big mission. We're 2 weeks into our very first Kickstarter campaign, What Am I Eating and Why Should I Care? It all starts with your fork, and indeed it does. So thanks to everyone out there who is supporting us already. We're over halfway to our goal with less than 2 weeks in, and that makes me feel very happy, because I am so manic. And it's a very important venture for us. We hope you'll check it out and decide to make a pledge. You can do it on our website, mrsgreensworld.com/Kickstarter. And I'm just inviting you to please be a part of our journey to learn about healthy eating and why everything you eat does in fact have an impact on you, your health, and the health of our planet. So help us spread the word. Okay, now a warm welcome to our show guests, Carter and Olivia Reese. They, as I mentioned, are the founders of One More Generation. So let's get started with the questions. Enough of Mrs. Green. And Carter, do we want to start with you since it's your birthday coming up and we'll let you be first? How did you start One More Generation and why? What was the beginning of the story?
Well, I'm glad you asked, actually, because when I was 8 and Olivia was 7, our aunt had adopted cheetahs for us. And after we researched them and found out what they were, because we were young at the time, and we figured out that these were really cool animals. So we kept adopting them, actually. We are still adopting them. But when she brought us home the certificate, Olivia asked my dad, why did cheetahs need to be adopted? And he said, well, that's a great question. Well, if there weren't agencies like the one you're adopting your cheetahs from, there might not be cheetahs when you have kids. So that got her really upset. So she asked my dad, he told my dad, we've got to do something about the issue. So he said, when you get older, you can start a company. And, of course, Livia at the time took that as, Dad said we're starting a company. So then we kept bugging him and bugging him, and then he finally gave in, and that's how we started that.
And starting a nonprofit is not an easy thing. So thank goodness for your dad, Jim, for helping you. And I know that I started a nonprofit oh so long ago, and it's a lot of work. So when you say you adopted a cheetah, does that mean that you had your aunt like supported their care? But what does it mean to adopt them? Because you didn't, I'm sure, have them move in with you and have two cheetah pets.
No, we didn't bring them to our house. But by adopting, that means that you are taking care of the animal by giving the organization funds, and you are actually considered the owner of that cheetah or whatever animal you're adopting. And then if you keep doing that, you'll be the owner of that cheetah for as long as it lives.
That's pretty amazing. So, Olivia, why do you care so much about animals, and what made you say to your dad, let's do more?
Well, we realized that animals can't just speak to themselves and say that they've had enough of the fact that we are taking away their habitat and their own species for no reason.
And so you wanted to be a voice for the animals?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
So I know that this is a very interesting and interwoven story. And Olivia, while we still have you answering the question, what is your commitment to the environment? And what happened with the Gulf oil spill that made you get interested not just in adopting animals and endangered species, but we have one planet. So what made you get excited about the environment?
Well, like you said, we went down to the Gulf oil spill. And we had collected supplies for 4 months straight. We went down there on my 8th birthday to deliver all the supplies we collected. And while we were down there, we experienced how the oil spill is like hurting these animals. And on our last day, a professor from Berkeley, California came up to us and said, what are you doing about the environment? He told us, he said, there must be somewhere where these turtles and sea turtles can go, that there's no oil. And she said, oil is not her problem. Plastic pollution is. So that was the first time we ever heard about plastic pollution.
At the ripe old age of 8, were you 8?
Yes, she was.
Yes, 8 years old. So it's pretty amazing to me because, unfortunately, since you've gotten excited about it, the problem has not getting better. It's gotten worse. So we need the young voices like you to be involved in plastic pollution. Can I just ask both of you, when you went to the oil spill, how emotional was it and what kinds of things did you do?
Well, the first thing that shocked me was that they had so many sea turtles and sea birds that I really couldn't count. But they, on the last day, they told us how many sea turtles were there. They told us that there were 146 sea turtles that had ingested oil. There were 6 sharks, a dolphin that just recently gave birth, and countless birds. They didn't know how many because there were so many. And I have a quick question that a lot of people don't know, but how do you get oil out of a sea turtle if they were to swallow it?
I don't know. How do you?
Well, this is kind of crazy. They actually take a syringe and they squirt mayonnaise down its throat because mayonnaise is actually thicker than oil and they hate the taste of mayonnaise.
Oh my gosh. So does it make them sick to their stomach so that they throw it up?
They throw it up immediately, and then all the oil just comes out.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm sure that number was probably bigger. Was that just when you were there? Because
that was just when we were there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the numbers are staggering. And what blows me away is that we've all kind of moved on, and yet the impact and the devastation still continues from that oil spill. It's really pretty sad. So let's not talk about SAD right this minute. What are you doing about plastic pollution? Since we're on that subject, you have hints on your website. What are you doing personally in your life, your lives right now, to help stop plastic pollution?
Well, once we came back from the Gulf, we studied about plastic pollution for 5 months. And then we were knocking on mayor's doors and telling them about this, and they wouldn't let us in, actually, because they didn't know who we were. So we made a coalition called the Plastic Awareness Coalition, where we get like-minded organizations to join up with us and help save the environment. We also made a plastic awareness week where we go to schools and we teach for the whole week about plastic pollution and what it's doing to the environment. And we'll actually get all the kids to bring in all the plastic trash from each day for a week, and then we show everyone how much one community can make. And the first school we did had 121 pounds of plastic trash.
Oh my gosh.
And sometimes plastic doesn't even weigh at all. And to stack up to that much is just amazing.
It's mind-blowing. It's staggering. I mean, that's right. And plastic weighs hardly anything. So 121 pounds, I can't imagine the visual. I mean, that's really a lot of plastic.
Keep going.
No, go ahead.
And then what we do after that is we make a giant art sculpture of like a sea turtle or a seabird, and we tell the kids how important it is to save the endangered species. So
how do other kids respond? Do you think a lot of kids your age are aware of the environment? Are they aware of plastic pollution? Is it mixed? I'd like to ask you both to answer what you think about that in terms of plastic pollution, because it's really awful and devastating.
Well, when we go to speak at school, the kids, or even maybe once we tell the parents, they come up to us and they say, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. And so then after they learn that, we say, they go home and they tell the parents, and then that gets their family started on saving the environment.
Okay.
And for me, a lot of kids are doing stuff. That's good. We know a few kids that are really helping out, but a lot of times we go to schools and they just don't care. Sometimes they'll say, that's not my problem. And so that really gets us like sad to think that people don't care about what's happening to our environment.
And the impact they have. I mean, and what I've said on the show before and I've written about in my newsletters, nobody really thinks about, like, I want to kill a sea turtle or I want a bird to, you know, die because its beak got caught in a plastic bag. But I think we have to get everybody to start thinking that whatever you do with your plastic can have an impact, especially in the waterways. It's ugly to look at on land, but it's really awful when it gets into any type of, water, natural water. So good for you guys. Okay.
Thank
you. Now let's talk about, didn't you go to South Africa this past summer? Am I right about that?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so I want you both to tell me how that came about and what happened on that trip, which will get us right to the next exciting campaign that you're doing that blows me away.
Well, do you want us to talk about our first trip?
Yes, talk about your first trip.
All right, so when we were going over to see our cheetahs for the first time, we actually collected money to give to the Anne Van Dyke Cheetah Center, which was the cheetah center where our aunt adopted the cheetahs.
Right.
And we went down there and we gave them a lot of money and we got to see our cheetahs. And luckily mine was calm at the time because I got to pet him.
You're kidding.
No, actually, he was really sweet. His name's Deputu, and that means Dave in Afrikaans. And what happened is once we got to pet him, we had to feed him. And you have to put your behind towards the gate, and then you have to open the gate while the cheetah's on the other side, and you have to slide the food in and then put the gate back down. And so one of the guys actually said he got scratched a few times by one, but he said he's learned from that experience. And but we didn't get to pet Livy's cheetah because really wild. She's really wild. She just had a cub as well, so.
So she was really being protective. So that is one wild and crazy thing. Well, let me ask you, Olivia or Carter, why are the cheetahs in captivity? Why are they needing to be in, you know, not out in the wild? What's their stories?
Well, it's because a lot of times it's not because of poaching.
Right.
It's because of farmers. It's not their fault exactly, but the cheetahs go after their cows and their goats and all the different animals that they have.
Right.
And they'll go after them, and they don't want them to go after them because they have to feed for themselves. And they'll actually shoot the cheetahs and kill them because they don't want them to get near their animals.
Right, because they have to put food on their table. Okay.
And sometimes they have to do it with one skin, which I think is ridiculous.
Okay.
So Ludi said they'll do it for the skin as
okay.
well.
Okay, yeah, it faded out a little bit for a minute. So they'll do it for the skins. I mean, that's so awful and gross. How could anybody want a cheetah skin? They're such gorgeous animals. Can we go back for a minute and talk about your aunt, who obviously has had a major role in the formation of One More Generation? How did she get excited about cheetahs? I'm sure you've asked her that question. Can one of you answer that?
My dad asked her that too. She lived in Africa for a little while. Her husband was there, and her husband's son was there. And so what happened was, my dad said, "Just bring the kids something back, but not like tourist stuff, not like cheap stuff, like
not like a cheetah skin."
Yeah, not cheap stuff. And then she brought home a certificate, and that was the whole time my dad was saying, don't get them something like cheap. So that's
where the seed was planted.
Yeah, she was actually living in Johannesburg at the time, and she drove past the cheetah center, and she went there for a little while and then realized that there were adoptions. That'd be a great gift for the kids.
Oh my gosh. Little did she know what kind of monster, in a good way, she's creating. It's like, that's a very powerful story. Okay, so that was your first trip to Africa. Let's talk about your next one.
Well, actually, during our first trip, we actually learned about the issue of rhino poaching.
Okay.
And that's where our campaign comes in, and that's where we went to the second trip to South Africa. So, I don't know if you know this, but do you know what rhino horn is made out of?
No. You're stumping actually, Mrs. Green on the radio, Carter.
It's actually made out of keratin, which is the same as your hair and your fingernails.
Okay.
And most people will go out and cut the horn off with a panga, which in South Africa it's called a panga, but here we call it a machete. And they'll go and they'll start hacking away at the horn, and they'll sometimes take the baby horn as well. But then they go and sell the horn, and 1 ounce of rhino horn is twice as much as 1 ounce of gold.
And what do people do with it?
They'll grind it up into like this powder, then they'll pour water on it, and then they'll drink it, or they'll put it on their soup, and then they'll eat it, and they think it cures cancer. They'll sometimes do it to make them look younger, but it's like biting your fingernails.
And it's killing a rhino. So you guys, we are already up on the first break, and we have to just take a very short break. And when we come back, we want to hear, I would love to hear more about the Rhino letter writing campaign. We have so much more to talk about and some of the other campaigns you're doing, and we'll take a short break. Everybody, if you just joined us, I am having the pleasure of interviewing Olivia and Carter Reese, and they are the founder of One More Generation. Please stay here with me. We've got lots more exciting stuff to share. We will be right back. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine, it's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines, it gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
Bookman Sports Exchange is now open at 3330 East Speedway. We're taking our passion and experience of buying, selling, and trading books and music and applying it to the world of sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear. We are giving you another way to save money on the things that you love, Bookman style. Remember, Bookman Sports Exchange, sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear, now open daily from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Speedway east of Country Club. Check out bookmans.com for more info.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. If you've just joined us, are you in for a wonderful surprise and a wonderful story? Joining me today are Carter and Olivia Reese. Carter's going to be 13 in a couple of days. His sister Olivia is 11. They are founders of One More Generation, a nonprofit dedicated to ensuring that all endangered species alive on our planet today survive for at least one more generation. Thanks, you guys, for taking the time. I don't know how you get in all you do, and I'm going to ask you, do you keep up your grades too? Because you're still in school.
Yes, actually, I'm homeschooled, so.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, it really works out for me, but Lydia's not homeschooled. I'm in private school.
Okay, and you have to preserve endangered species and keep up with your schoolwork, so it's a really nice blend. Okay, let's talk about the Rhino Letter campaign and what happened after you saw that, because when we went to break, you talked about the devastation of rhinos for their horns. And I've seen pictures. There's a wildlife photographer, Chris Jordan, who is just amazing. He's an environmental photographer, actually. And I've seen some of the pictures on his website. It's pretty hard to see. So talk about your next campaign or this campaign about saving the rhinos.
Well, yeah. When we came back from Africa, while we were in Africa, actually, we learned about the rhinos, and then we heard what was happening to them and how they were getting poached for their horns. And so then we said, why don't we do something about it? So the next way was to education. So went to school, and we taught them about the issue, and we decided to have them write letters to the president of South Africa, President Jacob Zuma.
Okay.
And so our goal was to get 1,000 letters, and by the end of our campaign, well, we're not quite done yet, but by the next trip, we got 10,000 letters.
It's just unreal to me. I mean, I sign petitions all the time, and people are lucky if they get 1,000. You have to really work to get 1,000 signatures, and you guys got 10,000. What was the magic bullet? How did you get it to spread so that you got that many? Was it just you and I'm sure your dad helping you go to schools, or how did that work?
Well, we had a lot of organizations that were helping us as well.
Okay.
We went to a school that had 750 students, so that was a real big success because we got 750 different the friends. We also went to a school that had 500 students, so that went over 1,000. And then we did Skype for schools from around the world. We did some from in South Africa, some from New York, some from all these different places. And we got 50 or 60 letters every time we did those, and we did about maybe 20 to 30. And we did about that many, so we got really high, and then when we went to South Africa, we got a bunch of letters as well from schools.
And so what kind of impact does it have when people from the outside world put their scope on what's happening in Africa? What is your best possible outcome that you're hoping for?
Well, maybe for people to understand that this isn't the way to... Okay, could you ask a question again?
Well, it's like when you deliver the letter of 10,000 signatures, does the South African president pay attention and realize that people from around the world are looking so that he can help maybe enforce the the poaching laws that are in place and help to fight the cause for the rhinos?
The president did nothing, actually.
Okay, thank you for that honest answer.
Yes, we were trying to get a hold of him, and we tried to get through his secretary and all these different people, but we got to this one guy. He wouldn't let us get through it all. We asked him, what is this going to be doing? We asked him a year before we were going to go over, and he said, you guys can actually come over in March if you want. We'll have this ready by March. And then it never happened, and we called every single week, nonstop, and we just kept calling, and they wouldn't put it in. And he said, "Oh, we've got so much stuff that we're doing. Sorry, we can't get it." So we actually had to go to South African government, I think it was. Yeah, and then we delivered all the 10,000 letters to him, and so I don't know if he's going to do anything with them, but he promised maybe. Here's a funny story. We actually brought 3 or 4 letters up. We had friends there with us. We brought a few letters up, and Olivia asked him, "Will you promise to read all of these?" And he said yes, and he only looked at the 5 or 6, and then my dad stacked all the other 10,000 letters on there.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome, you guys. And what was his facial expression when you did that? It's a great
His eyes became really wide, and then he kind of opened his mouth, and everyone started laughing. Because they knew he just promised Olivia that he was going to read these, and that he better keep up to his promise. So
you guys... This is this is educating for me. But Olivia, let me ask you, I know that you have really strong feelings about good ways to get other people to help. So do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because obviously it's working. If you got 10,000 signatures, it's amazing.
Well, what we do is we have our next project, I think it's going to be about orangutans and we actually teach people. That's the number one thing that we do.
Education. Okay. Educate, right?
Yes.
And spread the word. Okay. I want to just talk a little bit about the organization, if that's okay. Because as a nonprofit, you have to have a board. And I think it'd be kind of interesting for people listening, especially given your, advanced ages of 11 and soon to be 13. I know that you have a board, and it's made up of young people. So can you talk a little bit about that and some of the kids that are on the board? Are you good with that, you guys?
Yes, yeah. We have about 5 or 6 kids on there right now. And And one of our favorites is, his name is Peyton, and he goes to the Northwood Elementary School, and he helps a lot, actually. He's in Boy Scouts, so we'll go to his Boy Scouts and teach there. We'll go to different schools, and he'll come. If we go back to his school, he'll be standing up there talking. So he's really helped.
And is he a friend, or is he someone that you met on this journey?
He's someone we met on this journey. We actually didn't know him before we started One More Generation, but once we got in there, we heard about him about 7 months ago.
Okay.
Keep going.
Well, I was going to ask you, when you have a board meeting, which I know there are requirements to do that, do you all get together or do you do it on Skype? Or what do you do to keep the organization together and provide leadership for it to move forward?
Well, for the kids, we do Skype. For the adults, we go into a conference and we get into this big meeting and we talk about funding and different stuff, where with the kids, we just talk to them about what they can do to educate other kids.
Okay. So that's amazing. And then your dad, who I'm sure is a huge help, because there are things that you have to know, like bylaws and policies and procedures. So let's give a shout out to your dad, right?
Yes.
I mean, he really does a lot. Okay. And about the rhinos, you know, one of the things that I think is just our talking about it today, what you're doing just helps, it raises awareness. And if people are listening, I know we're going to have a couple more calls to action, but what do you think listeners can do to help save a species like the rhino? What's the way, or the cheetahs? How do they go about it?
Well, you can adopt. Or you can find you can write down a letter to President Zuma, or you can contact us via email at info@onemoregeneration.org, or to keep us up with our great work, maybe go on to our website at www.onemoregeneration.org to make a kind donation.
Okay, that's really a good way, because that supports all these projects then. You know what I mean? And another little thing that you gave me in the notes that we worked on, and they're awesome, by the way, you guys did a lot of work to get ready for the show, is one of the things you talked about that everybody can do is picking up at least one piece of trash every day.
Yes, that's one of our biggest messages, actually. Go to school and say to the kids, at least, it's going to go outside. Piece of trash, don't just walk by it and say it's not a responsibility.
Right.
You have to go out there and actually start by picking one piece of trash up every day at least. I used to pick up, I'd go to my soccer field, and when I came home, instead of having a soccer ball in my backpack, I'd have 30 or 40 pieces of trash.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'd carry all my stuff with me, and I never had it in my backpack because I'd always clean up trash. But then my dad said, you can't, there's no way you're going to clean up every single piece of trash on Earth, because people just keep doing it. And so I said, I know, but the only way we're going to make a change is by at least doing this. And that's where the message came from.
And it's making a difference. I mean, if everybody did just one thing, you know, I'm not eating a lot of meat these days, and that's a whole nother show, but it's, if I don't eat meat for one day, if everybody in the country stopped eating it for one day, we might get attention to how to be, you know, kinder to animals and have more cruelty-free environments for them to be raised and all that stuff. So I applaud you. It is. Don't think that you can't make a difference. Do just one thing. So, Olivia.
Me too.
Go ahead.
I don't eat really meat.
Yeah, it's one thing. Okay, so Olivia, what are some of the local projects you're working on right now? It amazed me. I know you have a project that you're working with the city of Atlanta. So talk about that.
So we are trying to propose a 5-cent fee plan for
but people are just throwing, actually, for plastic bags.
Uh-huh.
But so many of them. And we're also working on, we want to designate 1 month out of the school year to be plastic awareness month. And also, speaking of that, we went to the government and we talked to them about plastic pollution and that adding to the littering law, because we said animal cruelty should be added into that, because when you throw plastic trash out and we put plastic trash out and you just leave it there, animals could eat it and then die. So we are saying that it should be counted as animal cruelty. So.
Okay, well, when you say you approach the government, talk a little bit about that, because you don't just approach the government. Do you go to individual city council members, or do you go to the mayor, or what's your process for helping to connect with them and raise awareness?
Well, we went to Senator Henson, and she's a really nice guy. We actually, that was the first time we met him was with plastic trash, so... He was a pretty good friend, and so we went to him and talked to him about this, and he said, you need to speak to this and this person, and we would go to them, and we finally got to the government, where we talked to them about the sea plan and the littering law.
And they listened. And they're listening and taking something on. You know, I had a guest on my show that told me that there is not one community in the United States that has ever just banned plastic bags willingly. There always has to be some type of fee or legislation. People just don't do it on their own. So it's really important that you're doing that, because that will raise the awareness. It just blows me away. We don't use plastic bags in Mrs. Green's world in our home. Our none of our family members do. Olivia, do you want to tell people what the devastation is to plastic and how many mammals and seabirds die from ingesting plastic every year? I know you know the answer.
Well, when the plastic bags are floating around the ocean, the sea turtles have, a favorite snack, which, is, ice cream to us, which is jelly to them. And so, in plastic bags, when they float in the ocean, they look like jellyfish. And so, they think look like jellyfish, and they just go after it and eat the plastic bag. And when they eat it, they say, ew, tastes good. They try to pull it out, but they don't have hands like us, so they can't pull it out, and it causes the digestive system. And also, adding to that, the people, we'll actually show a picture of a bunch of plastic bags and three jellyfish in a picture, and we'll show it to people. We'll have it kind of far away, and then we'll bring it up close, and we'll say, how many jellyfish do you see? And there's only three in the room. 25 bags. And people say 24, 36, and some people say none, and we said no, there are jellyfish. But then we said, so if we're thinking that these are all plastic jellyfish, then if we're supposed to be the most intelligent species on the planet, then how are sea turtles reacting? If they don't know what it is, if we can't tell what those are, then how are they going to understand?
Right. Oh, my gosh. That's such a good way of teaching. Yeah. Okay.
And also, we figured out that 100,000 animals die from ingested plastic and over 1 million seabirds die from ingested plastic.
I know. It's really awful. I mean, it's just, those are big numbers, you guys. And you're right. And the birds, they swoop down and they think they're getting something to bring back to their young. And it's plastic because it looks just like another shiny object or something to them. Okay, you guys, we're going to have to take another break. And when we come back, Carter, I'd really like you to talk about your initiative with Styrofoam and Chick-fil-A and another company, Charlie's Restaurant. And also, I was going to do this in the first part of the show, but tell us in the 1 minute that we have before break, where are you and how cold is it there right now as we're enjoying 76 degree weather in Tucson, Arizona?
We actually have no electricity. That's why we're sitting by the fire right now. And it's 28 degrees.
Oh my gosh. Everybody, did you hear that? Okay. You guys stay here with me. When we come back, we'll talk about all the other great green things you're up to. Carter and Olivia will be right back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World, next.
Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI Clean Diesel Technology. One part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative, our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI Clean Diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
Are you thinking about swapping out your old items for new? Think Habitat when you do. Don't trash it. Have a store it. Habitat for Humanity Tucson will resell your donated furniture, appliances, and building supplies and use the proceeds to build affordable homes in the greater Tucson area. Call now at 520-889-7200 for a free pickup. You can bring your donations to Habitat's Have a Store at 935 West Grant Road, just a quarter mile east of I-10. For more information, go to HabitatTucson.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thanks for joining us today. I am absolutely and positively delighted to welcome to our show and have just given me so much hope for the planet, Carter and Olivia Reese. They are age 13 and 11. They're brother and sister. They are founders of One More Generation, and it's a nonprofit dedicated to ensuring that all endangered species alive on our planet today survive at least one more generation. And you guys, thank you again. I just, you give me hope. I mean, there are days when I want to crawl in bed and pull the covers up over my head and wake up to a cleaner, healthier planet. And interviewing kids like you make me know that I've got to continue my work because it's for your generation and the next one after you that we're doing all this work for. So thanks, you guys.
Thank you. That means a lot to us.
Well, you mean a lot to me, and I've spent a lot of time looking at what you're doing, and I hope that the deep felt sincerity I have comes through because you're doing really important work. Okay, let's talk about one of my enemies, one of my biggest enemies. I hate styrofoam. Like, if it could be possible to hate it more than plastic bags, I do. When I go to restaurants, I bring my own to-go containers. And if I don't, I cringe and I apologize to the planet. So talk to me, Carter, about what you're doing with trying to get restaurants to stop using it and giving them out.
So I'm going to start with Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
So have you ever gone there and ordered a beverage and it comes in styrofoam?
Yes, and it makes me sick.
Yeah, we actually go there a lot, but instead of, I never get, like, sodas when I go there because it always comes in styrofoam cups. So I always get, like, orange juice where it comes in a number one plastic, so I know it's recyclable.
Right.
But have you... So you said you have a daughter, right?
I have three daughters.
Three daughters. So have any of them gone to Chick-fil-A and gotten a kid's meal and gotten one of those packets?
Well, I will tell you this. I have two grandchildren. One's 13 and one is 9. It's a boy and a girl, and the girl's older, Madison and Liam. And their mom is pretty much, she's greener than I am, and they do not go into fast food restaurants pretty much. I actually had an argument with my granddaughter, and boy, believe me, we're close, and she'll crack up when she listens to this show, because we were in a hurry and we wanted to go to In-N-Out Burger, it might have been, or Jimmy John's, and she wouldn't eat. And I was like, Madison, are you kidding me? We're really in a hurry. So they don't, but Mr. Green and I do occasionally go and you know, we'll go to In-N-Out Burger once in a while or Chick-fil-A, and even the straws drive me crazy. It's like we don't take straws anymore. We don't get lids for the cups, and we try to bring in our own water bottles if they let you. So that's a long answer, but there, that's my story.
Yeah. Well, so in their little toy things, a lot of kids get these, but I'm glad that your grandchildren don't. So when they get these, they have little plastic sleeves on the outside. And there's no need for that because they're little booklets that you just take home.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah, and so we had a meeting with them, and Olivia went there on purpose. We went to O'Sally's on purpose. Not O'Sally's, sorry, Chick-fil-A on purpose. And we got those kids' meals on purpose so that when we went to his meeting, we told him that we ate Chick-fil-A. We went to his restaurant, and he said, thank you. And then what happened was Olivia took one of the booklets out of his sleeve and kept the other one in there. She split the two booklets to him, and she said, what do you see different about them? And he said, I don't see anything different. And so what happened was she said, exactly. She said, one has done that plastic sleeve and one has a plastic sleeve, and then he finally realized. And we said, if you didn't realize that, then how will customers realize that? When they get that, they're not going to want to see the plastic bag. They're not going to notice that there's a plastic bag on it, and they're not going to care. So then you're saving the environment by changing something that no one's going to notice.
And you got their attention. I mean, you got their attention. And can we talk about that for a minute, just in general? Since you are so young, both of you, what's your reaction in general to approaching such serious subjects with adults? Are they respectful? Do they take you seriously? Is it a mixed reaction? I'd love you both to answer that, because I take what kids say very seriously, because I think of you as a young person, not a child. So what has been your reaction in general to your important message about environmental issues?
So what I really have like a problem with, whenever I go to the store with my parents, I say no plastic bag, because they put all the groceries in the plastic bag.
Right.
They just look at the parents and go like, what? Do you really want that? And they don't listen to us saying we would not like a plastic bag.
So they're not listening to your voice. They're letting the adults make the decision or turning to them. Good for you,
and
guys.
Olivia,
that annoys me so much.
Yes, it annoys us too. Lydia was actually at a pumpkin patch thing, a few months ago. And what happened was, they hand out these little pumpkins in plastic bags, and they hand out like 3,000 actually each week, each day actually.
And how many?
Thousands.
In a day.
In a day, and they're all covered in plastic bags. And what happens is, Libby got one, and he was wrapping them to give it to Libby, and she said, "No plastic bag, please." And she said, "No." He said, "No, you're gonna have to take the plastic bag with it, because that's what goes with it." And Libby's like, "No, I don't want the plastic bag." And he said, "I'm sorry, but you have to take it." And then my dad came up and said, "We're not going to take the plastic bag." And he said, "Okay."
Oh my gosh, but he wouldn't listen to you guys. It's really unbelievable.
Listen to Libby.
And you know, Olivia, when you go into places like what we have here, like if sometimes I'll go into like a Walgreens, which is a drugstore, and it's, you know, everywhere, or a CVS, and I see people get like a candy bar or a one card or something, and they put it in a plastic bag. Are you tempted sometimes to say something? I have to bite my tongue because people don't really appreciate saying, you don't need a plastic bag for that. But do you find yourself at times trying to control yourself and not say something?
Yeah, well, like when I had bought my phone at Best Buy, they said that we needed a plastic bag to get out because it was a security system.
Oh.
And so we said no plastic bag, and he said, but you have to take it. And we said no plastic bag. You can walk us up there and say that we don't want a plastic bag. So he did that.
It's amazing. That's courage. I mean, that's really courageous. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Keep going.
No, I was going to ask you, because I want to make sure that we cover this in the minutes that we have left. We still have, you know, a good amount of time, but how do you fund all this? Because your activities are important. How do you get funds to support the work of One More Generation?
Well, when we go to school, we'll ask for some donations. We sometimes get donations, But we get about $25 each time, which would be about every other month. It's bad, but funding is the main goal for us to get. We have to have funding to do all these different things.
I know, just the travel alone, and the, you know, it's, so you're really trying to build a financial platform to do this, and people can donate at your, through your website, onemoregeneration.org, right? And to help you continue your work.
Yes.
So it's like, it's cracking me up. So your ages are 13 and 11, and you are co-founders of a nonprofit, and you travel to schools, and you have to keep up your schoolwork. I want to ask you both, because this is Mrs. Green's World, and it's all about, you know, living life in balance. What do you guys do for fun? It's totally off the grid, but let's tell me about what do you do at 13 and 11 for fun, to just like not take on so much responsibility.
Well, I play volleyball. And
awesome.
I like to do crafts.
Okay. So that gets your mind off it. And Carter, what about you?
I actually do origami, which I love it. But I'm actually right now for a school project. We are doing this like what's it called, wax museum, where someone comes up to us and touches us, and I'm going to be the person who created paper. So I'm making these Chinese dragons, which are about 3 feet long at least, and it's 635 pieces.
Oh my gosh!
And it took about 20 sheets of paper, and I'll send you a picture of what it looks like. I also play piano. I created my own song.
So you write music too. Okay.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Okay. So I just want to do that check-in. And you know what I say to people, because I'm pretty intense about this preservation of the planet thing myself. I have fun doing what I'm doing. I mean, this doesn't feel like work. And obviously to you two, it doesn't feel like work either. It's part of who you are and how you show up every day. You're making a difference for One More Generation. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Tell me about your, I think that when I talked to your dad earlier today, he talked about your presenting to the United Nations. Is that, did I get that correct?
Yes. For a school project, they chose people who they knew were going to, because we do speaking all the time.
Right.
So they chose Olivia and I, they chose one of my best friends, they chose a lot of different kids, I think, yeah. And so I'm working with someone, Olivia's working with someone, and then someone else is working with them. So Olivia's talking, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about children in armed conflict.
Children in what?
Armed conflict.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Holy smokes. Okay. That's pretty heavy duty, too.
Yeah. And then I'm doing one about climate change because the principal at our school does not believe in climate change. He says it's just that it's just the sun saying to make believe. And she gave it to me to prove her wrong.
Oh.
So she really doesn't believe in it. So I hope I do prove her wrong that there is such thing as climate change because we know it's true.
Oh my gosh, I know. It's rather shocking for you to disclose that. It's so sad to me, and it's so not a political issue. I hope that you can have an impact on her. Okay, we have about 5 more minutes left, and you guys, I hope that you will keep in touch with us and put stuff on the Mrs. Green's World Facebook page about what you're doing with the United Nations, and we can help support each other and hopefully raise some dollars for your nonprofit. But you're partnering with folks from the International Elephant Project, and we know that elephants, they cut their tusks off for the ivory. I mean, I think there's some progress on that area. And the Orangutan Project. Do you both want to talk about that letter writing campaign that you're going to be doing?
Yes. Actually, we're starting on the orangutans because while we were in South Africa again, there was this lady who was there for a little. Her name is Dr. Galdicus, and I couldn't remember the last name, but she is an orangutan expert, and she's like the Jane Goodall of orangutans. And what's really funny is once we met Jane Goodall, she got us in contact with the lady, and she's coming to stay here for the weekend at our house.
Awesome.
And that would be a great experience because we get to finally talk to her about what effects it has.
That's so awesome. And I got to meet Jane Goodall for the first time in September, and what an amazing woman. I mean, just so, you know, not stuck up or pretentious, very approachable. So you guys, it blows me away. So it's going to be an International Elephant Project and Orangutan Project, and it's going to be a letter-writing campaign, right?
And, yeah, we're doing a letter-writing campaign because orangutans are actually losing their habitat because a part of food product is called palm oil. And, and where they take palm trees and they just take palm oil out of it, and you go into the forest and cut down the trees where the orangutans go live. And if they see any living thing, they either kill it or guard it and bury it alive.
For palm oil. There's someone that wants to be on my show and do a whole show about that and the devastation that it's causing. I mean, all these things that there are to think about. So we have about 2 minutes left. I want you to both, in your 30 seconds, what would be the one wish you'd have from adults and kids listening to this show to take action? What would you like them to do, the takeaway call to action for this show?
Well, I'd like them to, if they have kids who are very interested in starting a company, to support them. And, grown-ups at least listen sometimes to what kids are saying because this is very important.
What a great call to action. So support kids who are supporting good causes. Okay.
And mine is for people to understand that it's important that save endangered species because if I were to be like in charge of what we were to do, I would at least tell everyone to pick up one piece of trash, like we said earlier, and listen to your kids, like what he said, because that's very important.
Those are really good, really good takeaways. And you guys, I just want to thank you from my very green heart for what you're doing. Keep on keeping on. And what I will say out as a shout out is if you are calling to your field to call to action, give a donation, no matter how big or how small, to onemoregeneration.org, because they need our support and you are our hope for the planet. Thank you. Thanks to your dad. Thanks to your mom. What incredible things you're doing. And we will spread the good green word. It'll be on Facebook and Twitter, and hope you'll do the same. Thanks, you guys. Okay, no, thank you. Next week, National Resources Defense Council. Dana Gunders, you'll want to be here with us on food waste. Thanks, everybody.